The reason we are here today is because of our mothers. The reason anyone lives. Since Eve in the Garden of Eden, and after that, she was the first mother, and so the human race has continued on to this day. And we want to set this time apart in honoring our mothers. We saw already on the screen Proverbs 31. I want to read a few verses there and just contemplate a little on the concept of motherhood. Proverbs 31, verse 10 through 12, and verses 23 through 31. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, even with his credit cards. Just had to add that. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. This is verse 25. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And this is what her husband says. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Oftentimes it is said that in the Old Testament, women were inferior or treated inferior and had to always be subject to their husbands on an unconditional surrender type basis. Adding to that, some in evangelical circles, even today, have adopted this attitude and based their belief on some writings of the Apostle Paul that the woman or women should be silent in church. And by this they mean that their women should always be silent and never question the decisions and actions or attitudes of their husbands. That the husband has the attitude of a boss instead of a responsible person. This is very far from the truth of the entire Bible. Women of the Old and New Testament were mostly treated on the same basis as the men. There were women in high positions of power and influence, even prophetesses in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament, helping the apostles proclaim the message of salvation. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, Paul writes, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, you are all one in Christ." So what Paul calls the weaker vessel doesn't mean that the weaker vessel is worth less in any shape, way, or form. In fact, if it wasn't for the women, this world could not exist. That's how important you girls and women are. Whether you are a mother who has physically given birth to children or a single woman or a woman that was not able to have children, listen carefully. You are very precious and much loved in God's eyes, and in Christ Jesus, there is no difference. In His church, we are all one. Motherhood is a biblical concept and carries with it the following definition. I was trying to find some definitions, so I made some up and I found some others. Motherhood, first of all, a female person who is pregnant with or gives birth to a child, a woman who adopts a child, a woman who raises a child, a woman who holds a position of authority or responsibility similar to that of a mother. It's usually called the den mother. A spiritual mother for others to emulate. This is being part of the church. And guess what? The church is called the mother of us all as believers. A woman who creates, originates, or founds something. Did you know that the discovery of radium was made by Marie Curie, a mother? And she was called the mother of the atomic age. A mother or motherhood is a creative source, an origin. Philosophy is the mother of sciences, for example. Used as a title for a woman respected for her wisdom and age. That is motherhood. Maternal love and tenderness brought out or brings out the mother in females, whether they have children or not. It can mean many things, and our own definition of it is largely defined by our individual experiences. To one person, motherhood might simply mean the act of raising children. To another, motherhood might be just what defines her as a person. Some mothers are frowned upon for having too many children. And they have been told, don't you know what to do? And others try so hard, and we know that many mothers or wannabe mothers go to great lengths to conceive a child, to bear their own children. As men, we often say, why would a woman want to go through it? There's a lot of pain and discomfort and a lot of sacrifice involved in becoming a mother. But why is it that many women, they spend thousands and maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to conceive a child? Why is that? Because there's this motherhood in them that drives them to that, that longs for this fulfillment. And this is the motherhood attitude, the motherhood nature that I want to address biblically here. For many, the dream of motherhood was shattered and they feel they're left out and they feel empty. To them, we say, whether you lost a child or you wanted to be a mother and you couldn't, to them we say, God will make it up to you in other ways. You still have motherhood in your heart, and with God's help, you can be a blessing as those who have children. Listen to what Psalm 113 verse 9 says. He grants the barren woman, barren means without children. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. That means that God has says here in His word that He will make that up to you if you were unable to have your own children. You are not considered worth less in God's eyes, and you shouldn't be considered less in the church's eyes than any other mother who has children. So I want to briefly point out some areas of the concept of motherhood that we find in the scriptures, and we're going to stay with the text here today. First of all, motherhood has everything to do with our relationship to God. Motherhood originates from God. He created mothers. He is the ultimate father. He is the creator of everything and everything good. And I think one of the best things, perhaps the best thing, the greatest treasure on earth may be, in society, may be motherhood itself. In the beginning, God created, this is what the Bible tells us, male and female. A man and a woman. He did not create, well, someone says, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. He didn't create two men. He created one male and one female. He created something that would be a unit. Something that society could base their foundation on. And on this unit, which is the relationship to God, our families are founded. Droves of women have followed a certain feminist agenda in the last few decades and turned their female role into a competition with men. There's all these women's rights movement. And I admit that in the past, there were a lot of rights violated. That's true. But if women try to be like men, or we men try to be like women, it's not our role. That's not how God made us. If God made you female, if you were born female, you need to embrace it with all your heart. Because anything less than that will shortchange your destiny of your life. Your purpose will not be fulfilled. You will always struggle. You will always be confused if you want to do it differently than what God has designed you to be. Every female has maternal emotions, whether she has children or not. If God has blessed you with children, pour out your motherly affections upon them. You are doing what you were born to do. And that is the glory of femininity. If you have not been blessed with children, ask God how He wants you to pour out your motherly love, your motherly instincts into the lives of others. Because you're still a mother inside your heart. There are so many hurting people in our world today. And many women who did not have a chance to get married and have their own families, they have become missionaries. They have become devoted to God so much that they don't miss that motherhood. They're giving to others. That is their motherhood, their expression, and God has called them to that. We may ask, well, why does God not allow certain women to become mothers? That is a question I could never answer. Because there's many things we can't understand. But what we can understand is that God has assigned each one of us a role to play in this world. A purpose designed for us. And we need to embrace that purpose with all our hearts and say, in this purpose that God has designed for me, in this I shall rejoice, I shall thank God for it, I shall live out my purpose for the Lord. So a true mother, whether children or not, motherhood is lived out by loving the Lord with all your heart. This is the first and foremost commandment in the Scriptures. Love God, your Creator, with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And if a mother does that, If all of us are doing that, you know that a lot of other problems and difficulties in life can be overcome and can be solved by loving God above everything else. And I think if we violate that law of love, I want to call it the law of love for God, that's when we feel restless. That's when we feel unfulfilled. That's when we feel that our purpose is not lived out. And that's why people grasp for this and for that, because this void, God's love, is not poured out into their hearts through the Holy Spirit. But you see, this love, when it's in our hearts, when it's in your heart as a mother, just imagine the impact that a God-loving mother can have. She spends time on her knees to worship and praise God and draw nigh to God. So many children have witnessed their mothers praying on their knees. They overheard them. The door was open a little bit, and they overheard their mother mentioning their name before God. That is an unforgettable impression they have. When a mother prays for her children, whom she also loves with all her heart, do you think God will not hear those prayers? Sometimes those prayers are not immediately answered, but she will never give up. That's one thing about motherhood. You don't give up praying and hoping for your children, ever. And whether we have adopted children, whether we have children that we minister to spiritually, that we have a spiritual influence, if you teach Sunday school and you're not a mother yourself, do you still have the motherly instinct? Do you have a burden? You have a determination in your heart. You will never give up caring for those children. The love for God motivates us in all that we do. And second, our text here addresses the relationship of a woman to her husband. And actually, when you read Proverbs 31, there's not much about bearing and raising children in there, right? Maybe a little bit. But what is very foundational to motherhood is a harmonious, godly marriage. In the previous session last Sunday, we talked about God's design for marriage. In our text here, we read, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies." You know how much worth rubies are? I have never found out, but they say they're very, very valuable. That means that if a husband has a virtuous wife, that he would not give anything for his wife. He would not exchange his wife for any treasure in this world, because she is life to him. She is everything to him. She fulfills his life and he fulfills hers. Verse 11, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She helps her husband in his work. She helps her husband to have a good reputation. And this is sometimes hard. Some wives are unable to put a good word in for their own husbands. They would be embarrassed or ashamed to do so. But here's a husband who is also godly, described in Proverbs 31. Because first of all, he is looking for a virtuous woman. Virtuous means faithful in everything she does. She has character. She has these values in her life, these principles that she lives by. And the husband was wise to pick her as his wife. And then comes the intimacy, which we call love and respect in a marriage. The heart of her husband completely trusts her. In other words, if he is a businessman, or in this case, in Proverbs 31, that he sits with the elders, he is in the government position, that when he is away from home, he can completely trust her that she is not going to be a couch potato. She will not be playing video games all day or on the phone all day. Or when he comes home, everything is in its place. And more than that, she has sold garments that she made. She has been industrious. That's the woman described here. Now, I know some women, some wives feel very intimidated when they read Proverbs 31, but there's another purpose to that whole chapter that I will come to a little later. It is important that the family is based on a marriage that is functional. You see, children come and they go. When the children are small, you wonder, when are they going to grow up? And it doesn't take long. And once you are my age, you wonder, when did they grow up? I mean, it was so fast. They come and go, but our marriage stays. And that is so valuable. And then comes the praise and encouragement in our marriages. And this is so important. Listen to the wonderful praise that the husband bestows upon his wife. Now, many of us husbands, we would want to say, well, if I had a wife like Proverbs 31, I would praise her too. Now, why don't you start with the wife you have and start praising her? Well, if there was something to praise her, I would do that. But, listen here. The children and husband both praise this woman. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel all of them. You are the best I could have gotten. In other words, we could say, well, when I look at so-and-so's wife and, Joe's wife over there and another guy's wife over there or my neighbor's wife, I have the best. It is important that we build up our wives' self-esteem. We support them through our praise. We say, we don't want our praise to get to her head. I mean, she will think she's really something. Well, she should think she's something, right? And verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. If you are a woman here, and he doesn't say mother, did you get that? He doesn't say mother. If a woman who fears the Lord is here today, you shall be praised, the Lord says. And I would like to encourage you, children, sons and daughters, and husbands, praise and encourage your wives and mothers today. Today's a good chance. Praise also those who have no biological children, that they have a motherly attitude, that they're also praiseworthy, because a woman who fears the Lord is praiseworthy. The third thought I want to bring out here is that by being a God-fearing, God-loving mother and husband, loving mother, he becomes a mentor to children. Motherhood, as understood in biblical terms, is setting an example and creating an atmosphere of nurturing for our families. It's the constant care for others that motivates and drives us. Whether we have children or not, it doesn't matter. If you have a care for others, a nurturing attitude towards others, especially the young ones, you look after the well-being of your family and others. Proverbs 31, verse 24 in our text here. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. You would think that that's very materialistic. No, she is diligent. Listen, verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She is planning ahead. She is wise. She opens her mouth with wisdom. And on her tongue is the law of kindness. The law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. In other words, if she hasn't fulfilled her duties, she doesn't even want to eat. She wants to fulfill her responsibilities as the role of a nurturer. Now, when it comes to the church, all women are to be mothers. We see the motherly instinct in little girls when you watch them, how they play with dolls and how they love to play and carry around babies. Why is that? That's the motherly instinct God has already put in them. All sisters in Christ, to you, the Lord speaks today, use your motherly gift to minister to other children and to young people. Set a good example with your words, your actions, and your attitudes so that others will be drawn to the Lord. Never despise any children. Never have the attitude that your children are better than everybody else's children, and you start to compete and you start to cause friction because of that. Now, I want to come to a point here. When we look at Proverbs 31, what else do we see spiritually? It's God's church. In Galatians chapter 4, we read, I want to start with 24 and then through 26. There were two covenants, Paul says. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. Hagar was Abraham's second wife, wasn't really his wife, but a mistress. And then verse 25, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. In verse 26, but the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. Paul was referring to the new covenant, which brings us to the church of the living God, which is the mother of us all. And all of us who are born again believers, we have been born into the family of God by the Holy Spirit and by His Word. We have been born into the church of the living God. She is our mother, if you will. And this is why we become now the faith bearers and the nurturers of those souls that seek God in faith. What a responsibility. The church's mission is to be making disciples, growing disciples for the Lord, to nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. If you feel rejected by others, if the world rejects you, if your old religion rejects you, If your own family, natural family, has rejected you, listen carefully. The church of the living God, the mother of us all, will be there for you and help you to heal, to grow, and to draw closer to God. That is our calling. That is our mission as a church. To be motherly. I want to just close with these thoughts. Now, being motherly spiritually includes also that we embrace truth and love. Both have to be there, because love cannot flourish unless there is truth. So we stand in the truth of the Word of God, and we nurture others in their faith. So motherhood is much more than the physical aspect of bearing and raising children. And I want to encourage all of you mothers today, mothers in Christ also, be steadfast. Stay strong in your faith. And reach out to those that are hurting.